deepest sorrow, from deepest sorrow to joy, from blindness to recognition, and the scriptures into setting our hearts on fire for mission. But the first verse is that seeing the disciples leaving Jerusalem away from their friends. Where is God? Where is God on this journey? There, the disciples are leaving. The sight of failure, grief, trauma, the loss of hopes, walking to in the opposite direction to Emmaus. Commentators note that this represents a moment when believers are very much tempted to leave the place of community and of covenant due to a shared, shattered expectations. They weren't just sad for themselves, they're sad for everyone. This is the common experience when we are in a period of loss, loss of life, our closest friends, a job maybe, or something very precious to us, a dream, or even money. The pain and hurt of loss is an ever-present source of grief and lament. It just seems too hard to believe when all around is pitch black around you. We are weighed down by the burden of great sadnesses in our lives, aren't we? Some of us, certainly, it's true. And these two disciples are not different. They were moving away from Christ, away from his followers, because it was all too much to bear. But let's carry on. In verses 14 to 16, it says that as they were talking to each other about everything that had happened, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. In this deep discussion, and they're totally absorbed in all that had been happening, in the events of the past week of the death and resurrection of Jesus, they didn't notice a stranger was already, the Greek says, it was already walking with them along the way. They were so absorbed. I'm sure you've seen people like that, or you yourself get absorbed in those discussions. They were kept from recognizing him. And maybe God may be invisible at times of great trauma in our lives, but he's no less present. They didn't know the mysterious person, but he made an inquiry. He said, "What are you talking about?" Asking such a direct question out of the, drew out the facts, the emotions, and their faith from them as they were at the end of themselves. He was watching them, listening for their, in their pain as they were talking, because Jesus wanted to tease out all of their hurt, because Jesus values our sufferings. Jesus values our sufferings. In verse 18, it goes on to say that one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you not the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" Jesus said. "About Jesus in Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." Or if you can go on, can you go on in the slides? We'll see some pictures, if it's possible. If you can just go on one slide or the next one. There we go. Oh, no. Okay. Keep on going. The chief priests and rulers handed over him and sentenced him to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since it had all taken place. In addition, some of our women folk amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not find Jesus. This fellow Cleopas is only mentioned here, but he was clearly a follower of Jesus. And the other person, some people feel that he might have been the brother of Joseph, the husband of Mary. So it could have been Jesus' uncle. And the other disciple, because of the emphasis in the Greek on the maleness, this could have been a lady, this could be the wife, it could have been a sister. So that's what I'm taking, and one of my pictures is off that, so you might see that. I quite like that idea, really, because there were a lot of women that followed Christ at that time. Cleopas recounts the events and saw that he saw, because it was a common knowledge, he saw it and everybody knew what had happened. It revealed his true heart and emotions. And he said in addition, and it's the third day of his passing. That's the way it reads. He didn't pay that much attention to what the women had to say. In fact, they told him, some of them, had met Jesus. So he just doesn't see it, doesn't hear that sort of thing. This happens when we're in trauma. He saw that Jesus really died. And now there is no body. Terrible, terror of terrors. And that was vindicated by Peter. You see, faith that's just based on a dead Jesus and an empty tomb is no faith at all. In verses 25 to 27, Jesus gave them a rebuke and told them about the wonderful stories, how foolish you are not to believe all that was spoken in the prophets. Did not the Messiah have to suffer all these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, so that's the whole of the Old Testament, he explains about himself in all of those. And this is the most interesting part. Another interesting part. But because they said their hearts were dull, just not with it. As Richard Sudworth would say, your numpties. They believed the glory of the Messiah, but there was a darker side of suffering, of pain, where God was not defeated. Jesus showed them throughout the Old Testament over 200 references about himself. The who and the where and the why and the how and the when. Without Jesus, the Old Testament makes no sense. It's like groping around in a room which is full of furniture in the dark. You might recognize a little bit, but actually, until the light switches on, we don't see it for what it is. We can't see properly. Jesus is the light that turns on everything that happened in the Old Testament, in the Jewish scriptures. St. Augustine said, in a paraphrase, the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. Jesus went on. It says that as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued to go on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. I don't think that Jesus is play-acting here, pretending to go further. But I think, along with some other people I was listening to this week, that he was wanting the two disciples to invite them closer to themselves. He wanted them to invite them into their personal space, to encounter them personally. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to invite him close to us. And Middle Eastern people are absolutely experts at urging you strongly to come. You will sit down. I've made this for you. Yeah, they do. Inviting Jesus into their home allows him to encounter them. It's like in that song. Remember we sing that carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem? Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. The invitation is given. The Christ comes in. So, in the act of Jesus breaking the bread, an ordinary act of in the mealtime, because these two disciples were not at the Lord's Supper, Cleopas and the unnamed person, the wife or sister, may have seen his cruel nail marks. They may have noticed the way that he referred to God as his Father. We don't know, but they recognized him. Their eyes were seeing him for the first time. Where was God? Right before them. He was there in all the journey. God's timing was perfect. Their souls were drawn out, and they were filled with faith, hope, and love. But why did he leave? The Greek talks about them just passing out of sight. There is an element of here of other resurrection stories where Mary tries to grab hold of Jesus, but Jesus didn't want that. There is something like that going on here. Think, why? Because maybe things are never going to be the same again. He is not the same again to them. He was no longer needed there. Disclosing that he was alive was the priority. And then we listen to the disciples in the last part. They got up. Oh, yes. They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road? He opened the scriptures to us. They got up and returned at once, which means as fast as they could, to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, astonished, assembled together and saying, it's true, the Lord is risen and he has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Well, here we are. We listened. We've seen on the way. If you go on, one more. Can we click on a few more? Okay. Let's go on. When we listen and open hearts and our ears to Scripture, we just have to obey. There's something that within us that we just got to do it. It sets our hearts on fire. They got up as soon as they can, ran back to Jerusalem. But you see, when they got there, the 11 stole their thunder by saying, yeah, he's risen, he's alive, by the way. Oh, we're about to tell you that. Can you imagine? Because in 1 Corinthians 15, that is what is recounted. He appeared to Peter. And maybe the women said, I told you so, as well. But they all could rejoice together. And then they could give the good news that they could saw Jesus, that he was alive when he broke the bread. And that was a tradition that went on. So what are three takeaways? I've got three takeaways. Have we got that slide going on? There are three takeaways from this passage. Number one, God is on the move here in our church. Tom has gone. We are moving on, and we're moving on with God. And today is part of our process of doing that. You see, maybe we are in a bit of confusion like the disciples were. He's moving our confusion into a revelation. He is alive. But what does that mean? What does that mean in this sort of time? You see, it vindicates all that Jesus had done. Forgiveness is real and it's life-changing. God is willing to give you and I another chance when we mess up to follow him. The past does not have to define or determine our future. Because he lives, we will live with him. They witnessed the day that death died. There will always be hope. The life that I lead by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God demonstrated his love that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. There's still a special future for us here in St. Christopher's. The God who is on the move did it for me. He has something has changed. It's like in that new song by Elevation Music, the rhythm, they say, goodbye yesterday. I won't waste a minute of a new day. Praise the Lord, I've been born again. The risen King is still living in his church and he is going to move us on. But why won't we see him? There are ways and reasons why we won't see Jesus. If we approach him on our terms, if we are not looking, if we want all the attention, if we lapse into cynicism, despair and fatalism, if we live on past glories or defeats, enjoy the affirming all this cynicism that's in the world and all their stories and the plight of our plight. And the fatalism that many people have these days. It kills faith, love, and hope. It gives no oxygen to the risen Christ or the possibilities of God's bigger picture to redeem the world and to lead us into a new life, into eternal life. You need new glasses. I need new glasses today. I'm just reading my notes. We need new glasses to see Jesus. Some of us do. You need to be saved from yourselves. But finally, how will we see him? Like Cleopas and his wife. Let the scriptures set your hearts on fire to be stirred, not in a casual observer, or evaluator or adjudicator when listening or reading to the Bible, but a hunger to ask God by his Holy Spirit, say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me to understand all these things. Help me to change. I need to change. I know, but help me. God, he loves those prayers. God wants you to ask him. Be willing to listen and to change and to be humble. How humble? To be an honest, giving an honest prayer to our Heavenly Father, like a little child. That's the way that Jesus taught about prayer, that we come to God like a little child, honestly, but to a loving Heavenly Father. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. The road to Emmaus is a powerful reminder that Jesus is always alive and present, turning up the sad sunset road of human disappointment into the sunrise road of hope and eternal life. Amen.